could open our meeting this evening by singing number 7, God Love the World of Sinners Lost and Ruined by the Fall. Salvation full at highest cost, he offers free to all. Number 7, perhaps we could stand. God love the world of sinners lost and ruined by the fall. Salvation full at highest cost, he offers free to all. Oh, 'twas love, 'twas wondrous love, the love of God to me. It brought my Savior from above to die on Calvary. Love brings wholeness in and to the lost makes known salvation full, the power of sin through faith in Christ alone. Oh, 'twas love, 'twas wondrous love, to me it brought my Savior from above on Calvary. He now by faith I claim him mine, the risen Son of God. Redemption by his death I find, and cleansing through blood. Oh, 'twas love, 'twas wondrous love, the love of God to me. It brought my Savior from above to die on Calvary. We just ask the Lord's blessing. Perhaps we could sing one more hymn, number 19. O Christ, in thee my soul is found, and found in thee alone. The peace, the joy I sought so long, the bliss till now unknown. Number 19, perhaps we could stand again. O Christ, in thee my soul hath found, and found in thee alone. Joy I sought so long, the bliss till now unknown. Now none but Christ can satisfy him for me. There's love, lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in thee. I sighed for rest, I yearn for them, not thee. But while I pass, Savior, by his love lay hold on me. Now none
Christ can satisfy. None other name for me is love and life and lasting joy. Lord Jesus, found in Thee, I tried the broken cisterns, Lord, but of the water sound. E'en as I stooped to drink, they fled and mocked me as I wailed. Now none can satisfy, none other name for me is love and life and lasting joy. The Lord Jesus, found in Thee. The pleasures lost I sadly mourned, ever wept for Thee, till grace the sightless eyes received Thy loveliness to see. Now none but Christ can satisfy, none other name for me is love and life and lasting joy. Lord Jesus, found in Thee.
I'd like to welcome each one to the gospel meeting this evening. And it was laid on my heart to speak on a story in the Word of God that I've often enjoyed in the gospel. And I trust it can be made simple enough that even the very youngest here can understand. It's found in the second book of Kings, and I'm going to start reading at verse 24. Forgive me, but I think we should probably read the story through and then make a few comments with the Lord's help. 2 Kings chapter 6. And starting at verse 24. And it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his host and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 40 pieces of silver, and the fourth part of a cab of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. And as the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, Help, my lord, O king. And he said, If the Lord do not help thee, whence shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor, or out of the wine press? And the king said unto her, What aileth thee? And she answered, This woman said unto me, Give thy son, that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. So we boiled my son, and did eat him. And I said unto her on the next day, Give thy son, that we may eat him. And she hath hid her son. And it came to pass, when the king heard the words of the woman, that he rent his clothes, and passed by upon the wall. And the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth within on his flesh. Then he said, God do so, and more also to me, if the head of Elisha the son of Shaphat shall stand on him this day. But Elisha sat in his house, and the elders sat with him. And the king sent a man before him, but ere the messenger came to him, he said to the elders, See how this son of a murderer has sent to take away mine head. Look when the messenger cometh, shut the door, and hold him fast at the door. Is not the sound of his master's feet behind him? And while he yet talked with him, behold, the messenger came down unto him, and he said, Behold, this evil is of the Lord. What should I wait for the Lord any longer? Then Elisha said, Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, Tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then a lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shall not eat thereof. And there were 4 leprous men at the entering in of the gate, and they said one to another, Why sit we here till we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore, come, let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. And they rose up in the twilight to go unto the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. And the Lord made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, Lo, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they rose and fled in the twilight, and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink, and carried thence silver and gold and raiment, and went and hid it, and came again and entered into it, entered into another tent, and carried thence also and went and hid it. Then they said one to another, We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. So they came and called unto the porter of the city, and they told them, saying, We came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there. Neither voice of man, but horses tied and asses tied and the tents as they were. And he called the porters, and they told it to the king's house within. And the king arose in the night and said unto his servants, I will now show you what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we be hungry. Therefore are they gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the field, saying, When they come out of the city, we shall catch them alive and get into the city. And one of his servants answered and said, Let some take, I pray thee, 5 of the horses that remain, which are left in the city. Behold, they are all as the multitude of Israel that are left in it. Behold, I say, they are even as all the multitude of the Israelites that are consumed. And let us send and see. They took, therefore, 2 chariot horses, and the king sent after the host of the Syrians, saying, Go and see. And they went after them unto Jordan, and lo, all the way was full of garments and vessels which the Syrians had cast away in their haste. And the messengers returned and told the king. And the people went out and spoiled the tents of the Syrians. So a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. And the king appointed the lord on whose hand he leaned to have the charge of the gate. And the people trode upon him in the gate, and he died, as the man of God had said, who spake when the king came down to him. And it came to pass, as the man of God had spoken to the king, saying, 2 measures of barley for a shekel, and a measure of fine flour for a shekel, shall be tomorrow about this time in the gate of Samaria. And that Lord answered the man of God and said, Now behold, if the Lord should make windows in heaven, and might such a thing be? And he said, Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not eat thereof. And so it fell out unto him, for the people trode upon him in the gate, and he died. Well, I think many of us here this evening are familiar with this story, we find at the very beginning here that King Ben-Hadad, who was the king of Syria, it says he gathered all his host and went up and besieged Samaria. In other words, this city was really a very ungodly city at this particular time. The king of Israel had turned his back on the Lord, and the Lord had brought a famine. He allowed a famine to come. And I just want to say at the beginning, you know, that some people think that God brings bad circumstances into their life because he doesn't like them, because he hates them. But that's not true. We know very much from what the Word of God says, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And I want to say tonight, dear friend, that God loves you and he loves me. Why does he allow this famine that we read about? It was because he wanted to warn those people about their sinful condition. And you know, there are times, I believe, even today, when God allows difficulties to come to the world, to wake them up. We know that there have been two very serious tsunamis in the last 10 years, one in Japan and one over in Thailand. We know there was a very severe hurricane down in New Orleans. And many of these things God allows, not because he's against his creatures, but to warn them that judgment is ahead. But, you know, man doesn't seem to pay very much attention. And we find here that Ben-Hadad came up to this city. He surrounded it. And, of course, the people couldn't go in and out as usual to get their food. And they began to starve. You know, it reminds me of an enemy that we have. An enemy, dear friend, that you have. The enemy of your soul, Satan. We were told last night, I think it was, that Satan is the god and prince of this world. And he is out to destroy every man, woman, and child. He knows what lies ahead for him, eternal judgment. And he wants to take every man, woman, and child with him to a lost eternity. And so he is influencing men's minds to turn against their Creator. And so we find here that Ben-Hadad, this Syrian king, surrounded the city, and the result was that people began to starve. And you'll notice it says here an ass's head was sold for 40 pieces of silver. Now, I don't know exactly what that would be worth, but from what I can figure out, it might have been something like $50. Can you imagine paying $50 to eat an ass's head? That's how serious things become. I understand that the very things that we're reading about in this chapter actually happened during the Second World War. The Germans attacked the city of Leningrad. They surrounded it. And the people there, they were starving so much that they actually turned to cannibalistic behavior. And you notice here in this particular chapter, the same thing happened. There were these two women, and they were so hungry that they actually decided to eat their own children. And they made an agreement that one day they would eat the one woman's child, and the next day they would eat the other woman's child. But you know, after they had eaten one of them, the other woman just couldn't bring herself to do what they had agreed to, so she hid her child. And she was so upset because the woman didn't keep her promise that they went to the king and explained to the king what had happened. And the king was very upset. And I just might say that God had prophesied that these things would actually happen. You know, if you turn back to Leviticus chapter 23, I think it is. Leviticus chapter 23. I'm sorry, it isn't 23. It's 26, I think it is. Leviticus chapter 26, and he says there in the 27th verse, "If ye will not for all this hearken unto me," this is the Lord speaking, "but walk contrary unto me," verse 29, "ye shall eat the flesh of your sons, and the flesh of your daughters shall ye eat." God actually promised or at least predicted that was going to happen if they turned their backs on the Lord. And you know, I want to say that we're living in a world today that have turned their backs on the Lord. They don't want the Word of God in the schools. I remember when I started teaching, I am a teacher, and back in the late 60s or early 60s when I started teaching, we were allowed to read the Bible. We were allowed to pray with the boys and girls. Can you imagine that happening in the schools today? No way. No, man does not want to hear about the Creator. He does not want to hear that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And we know that in the States they've removed the Ten Commandments from the beginning, from the front of courthouses and so on. And so things are going from bad to worse. Is it any wonder? Man thinks that he can live his life without the Lord in his life. How sad. And dear friend, tonight maybe that's the way you feel. You might think, I don't need the gospel. I don't need the Bible. I'm quite free without it. But I want to tell you that the day is coming when you are going to have to stand before the Lord. It says every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. And so the day is coming. We had it in the reading meetings that we're going to stand before the Lord someday and give an account of our lives. Well, we find here that the king, he was so upset by what these women had done that he tore his clothes, and underneath someone saw sackcloth. Now, you know, sackcloth in the Bible speaks of repentance. You all know the story of Jonah and how he had promised, or at least he had prophesied, that yet 40 days and Nineveh would be overthrown. And you know, the people were so taken aback by what he had to say, they believed what he said, and they covered themselves with sackcloth. Even the animals did, were covered with sackcloth. And we know that sackcloth speaks of repentance. But you know, this king, he had it underneath his clothes. And he was hiding it. And yet, you know, I don't think there was a real change in his life at all, because you'll notice there in the 7th verse, it says, Elisha came to Damascus. I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong chapter here. The 30th verse. And it came to pass, when the king heard the words of the woman, that he rent his clothes and he passed by upon the wall, and the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth within on his flesh. And he said, God do so and more also to me, if the head of Elisha, the son of Shaphat, shall stand on him this day. In other words, there was no true repentance on the part of this king. It's true that he felt bad about what had happened, the fact that the people were starving. He felt bad about that. But you'll notice here that he blamed all his troubles on Elisha the prophet. You know, he had a conscience, and his conscience told him that God was allowing what was happening to that city because they had turned their backs on the Lord. And so we find here that he had bitter hatred in his heart against Elisha, and no doubt against God himself. And you know, dear friend, maybe that's the way you are tonight. Perhaps you say, well, I go to church every Sunday, and I try to do the best I can. But you know, do you find that when someone goes to you and says, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, that you get very uncomfortable and you want to change the subject and you want to turn and go in another direction? Well, it shows that you have a heart that is no different than this king's. And so we find here that the king, he decided that he wanted to kill Elisha. And so he took his servant and he said, you go to the home of Elisha and I want you to kill him. And so we find here in this 32nd verse, it says, Elisha sat in the house and the elders sat with him, and the king sent a man from before him. But ere the messengers came to him, he said to the elders, see how the son of this murderer, son of a murderer, hath sent to take away mine head. Look, when the messenger cometh, shut the door, and so on. And so we find here the king was planning to actually kill Elisha. Well, you know, man was showing here his absolute hatred. He was willing to kill the prophet of the Lord. But you know, the wonderful thing is that right when man was showing his absolute worst condition, what happened? God gave Elisha a wonderful message. And we find that message in the first verse of the next chapter. Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow, about this time, shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Just imagine. Here's the king plotting to kill Elisha, and Elisha is given a message from God of blessing. He's told that the very next day they're going to be able to buy a measure of fine flour for a shekel. But you know, dear friend, tonight I'm not presenting to you something that you can take advantage of tomorrow. God is offering you salvation tonight, this very moment. He says in 2 Corinthians, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Oh, I want to say, dear friend, that God loves you. He knows that you're a sinner. And he knows that a lost eternity lies ahead. But he wants to give you salvation without money and without price. He's not offering it tomorrow. He's offering it tonight. In fact, don't put it off until tomorrow. For we know not what a day may bring forth. You might have health and strength here tonight. But who knows what can happen tomorrow? You could be ushered into a lost eternity by a car accident. Or some other, you could have a... I was just talking to a brother here yesterday, and he told me that he went to see the doctor, and the doctor said to him, he said, you have an artery here in your neck that is 99% blocked. He said, it's amazing that you are even alive as you stand there. Well, we don't know what a day may bring forth. So God isn't offering you salvation tomorrow. He's offering it to you tonight. Will you come to the Lord Jesus? Will you not believe that he came into this world? Who is the Lord Jesus? We were told last night who he was. The creator of the universe. The one that made everything that we can see with our eyes. And yet that very one came down here into this world 2,000 years ago. Why? Because he wanted your blessing. He wanted you to be with him for all eternity. And he couldn't have any sin in his presence. So he decided to go to the cross and there take the judgment that you deserved. And so in those 3 hours of darkness, when he was there hanging between heaven and earth, he took the judgment that I deserved. And oh, I want to say how thankful I am that when I was a young child, I accepted the Lord as my Savior. And tonight he is offering you salvation. And you know another thing, here they were offering salvation, or at least a measure of fine flour for a shekel. We're not offering you, God is not offering you salvation tonight at a shekel. He's offering you a full and a free salvation. There's nothing to do. There's nothing to buy. Remember that for you he left his mansion in the sky. And so tonight salvation is free. It cost the Lord Jesus his life. But for you, all you have to do is accept it. And so how wonderful to see here that when man showed his absolute hatred, God showed out his love. And isn't that exactly what happened at the cross. You know, there was man standing there accusing the Lord Jesus. What did they say? They said, "Away with him! Crucify him! We will not have this man to reign over us." They went and they put a crown of thorns on his head. They split in his blessed face. They plucked the hairs from his cheeks. And they made long the furrows on his back. They whipped him. That's what this world has done to the Lord Jesus Christ. They said, "We will not have this man to reign over us." They cast him out. Is man any different today? Not a speck. They don't want him. And dear friend, what about you? Well, even though man has shown out his worst hatred, God has shown out his love by sending the very one that this world hated to the cross, so that he might shed his blood on Calvary to make a way that you could spend eternity with him. Well, how wonderful. Well, we see here that the message went out, but how was it received? Notice the second verse. "Then a lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shall not eat thereof." So here was this lord. He just laughed. And he said, "Elijah, who do you think you are? How is it possible that a measure of fine flour can be sold for a shekel tomorrow? That's just a myth and a fable that couldn't possibly happen. Even if God made a window in heaven, could these things happen?" But you know, I've often enjoyed that verse, and I know many of us here have too. In Malachi chapter 3, I'll just read it. You don't have to turn to it, but I've enjoyed it so often. This is the Lord speaking. He says, "Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." Oh, God, tonight, he wants to pour out a blessing for your soul. He wants to bring joy into your life. We had last night that God delights to bring joy into the heart of lost sinners who accept his Son as Savior. And oh, tonight, God wants to pour you out a blessing. But here was this man here. He couldn't believe it. He wouldn't believe it. And you know, there are many followers of this Lord today in this world. They don't believe the Bible is the Word of God. They don't believe the gospel message. They think that things are going to continue as they are for another 1,000, 2,000 years. They don't realize the judgment lies ahead. But you know, dear friend, perhaps you'll be like this Lord. You'll see it with your eyes, but you won't be able to eat thereof. Because one of these days, the Lord Jesus is going to come. It could be before the clock reaches 8 o'clock that the Lord Jesus will come. If he came tonight, what would happen? Everyone in this room who has put their trust in the Lord Jesus would be caught up to be with the Lord. And everyone who is left behind in the seats here would be left for the judgment of God. Oh, I want to speak to boys and girls here tonight. Perhaps you have heard the gospel many, many times, but you've never actually bowed your head and accepted the Lord as your Savior. Why not do it tonight? You know, there's a little hymn we often sing. Why not tonight? Thou wouldst be saved. Why not tonight? Why not bow your head right now and say, "Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I know I deserve to go to a lost eternity, but I believe that you died on the cross to put away my sins, and I accept you as Savior." Will you do that tonight? Well, we find here this Lord did not believe. But then we come to the third verse, and we notice here that there were four lepers. You know, these lepers, they weren't very popular because leprosy is contagious. And they were at the gate of the city. They really weren't allowed in. And they recognized that they had no food to eat and they were going to starve. I might just add here there were four of them. I wonder why the Word of God tells us there were four lepers. Well, you know, I think of it this way, that four in the Bible often speaks of universality. You know, there's north and south, east and west. That takes in the whole world, doesn't it? North, south, east, west. And so four often gives us that thought of universality. So there's these four lepers. Who do they represent? Men and women, boys and girls in this world who are sinners. You know, it tells us in Romans chapter 3, all have sinned. You know, I might speak to you and say, are you a sinner? And you say, well, I'm really pretty good, you know. I don't swear and I try to do the best I can and I help the United Way and so on. And you might not be willing to say that you're a sinner. But you know, we had that verse quoted to us last night. I'll just read it again. It's in Romans chapter 3. I think we actually read it in Psalm 14. But in Romans 3, we have the very same thing. It says this. It says, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of their way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And so, dear friend, every one of us are sinners by nature and by practice. But you know, I believe there's two groups in this room tonight. There are those who are saved sinners, and there are those who are lost sinners. Which group are you in? Have you had your sins washed away in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus? Well, we find these four lepers here. And, you know, notice what they say there in that fourth verse. We will enter into the city. Now, if we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city and we shall die. And if we sit still here, we die also. So, you know, they were in a situation where they were under the sentence of death. And if they went into the city, they would die. If they sat where they were, they would die. If they went into the Syrian camp and the Syrians there, they would die. They were in a difficult, difficult position. But dear friend, that is your condition tonight if you don't know the Lord. You're under the sentence of death. But God wants to give you life. We often sing that hymn, don't we? There is life in a look at the crucified one. There's life at this moment for thee. Then look, sinner, look unto him and be saved, to him who was nailed to the tree. Oh, will you not take the Lord Jesus as your Savior tonight? Will you not take life instead of death? Well, these lepers here, it says in the fifth verse, they rose up in the twilight to go unto the camp of the Syrians. They made a decision. We're going to go to that camp, and we're going to see what happens. So they went in the twilight. I wonder why they went in the twilight. You know, it makes me think of Nicodemus. Do you remember Nicodemus? It says he went to Jesus by night. Why? He didn't want people to see him going there. And you know, perhaps these lepers, they didn't want anyone to see what they were doing. But anyway, they decided to go, and how wonderful what they found. It says here in the fifth verse, when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. They couldn't believe it. They went into the camp. Tent after tent after tent were empty. No man. And what did they find there? Notice in the eighth verse, when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent, and they did eat and drink, and they carried thence silver and gold and raiment. So they found all kinds of food to eat. And not only food, but they had the benefit of picking up gold and picking up silver and raiment. They couldn't believe it. It was so wonderful. But you know, I believe here we have something very interesting. And that is that the Lord Jesus, what does he say to you tonight? What does he say to me? He says, I am the bread of life. They found food to eat. They found bread to eat. They found water to drink. The Lord Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that cometh to me shall never thirst. So who is the one that can give that which can satisfy? You know, we sang that hymn tonight, didn't we? Now none but Christ can satisfy. There's none other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in thee. And so we find here, they had all they could eat as much as they wanted. They had as much water as they wanted. And was that all? No. They found silver, and they found gold, and they found raiment. And you know, it tells us in the Word of God, doesn't it, that we're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. So the silver speaks of redemption. And the gold speaks of divine righteousness. And the raiment speaks of that which we are clothed upon that makes us fit for God's holy presence. And you know, it all comes down to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I love that verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I think we all know it, but I'll just read it. It's the very last verse of the chapter. It says there, Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. There's redemption, the silver. We have the righteousness, the divine righteousness of God, the gold. And it's all found in the Lord Jesus. How wonderful. You know, the one that can bring happiness and joy into your life is the Lord Jesus Christ. Will this world satisfy? Never. You know, we sang that little hymn tonight. It said in the 19th hymn, it said, I sighed for rest and happiness, I yearned for them, not thee, but while I passed my Savior by, his love laid hold on me. You know, this world can never satisfy, but what can satisfy? The Lord Jesus. Have you come to know him? You know, there's sometimes even those of us who are Christians think that this world can satisfy. And we try all the world has to offer, but it never brings lasting joy and happiness. It's only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, here were these lepers. They found all these wonderful things. I can't help but read the verse that our brother Alan McCabber read this morning in the 61st chapter of Isaiah in connection with the raiment. It says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, and he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. Those lepers, they knew what it was to be clothed in raiment. Well, we can be clothed in the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. Well, how wonderful these lepers. They found all this wonderful, these wonderful things. And oh, tonight, if you will accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you'll find he's everything that can bring joy and satisfaction to your heart. Well, you know, they started taking more than they could handle. They started taking the gold and the silver. They said, let's hide it. So they started hiding it in various places. And then they became a little bit convicted. And notice what they say there in the 9th verse. Then they said one to another, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. You know, they said, we can't just leave this here. We've got to tell people. And you know, isn't it wonderful? When we come to know the Lord as Savior, what's the first thing we want to do? Oh, we want to burst out and tell people. I can remember there was a young girl in Stellarton many years ago who came to know the Lord as Savior. And it was such a joy to see her because every week, she would bring one of her friends to the gospel meeting. She wanted others to hear. And oh, tonight, dear friend, we want you to hear the good news that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And these lepers here, they wanted everyone to hear the good news. And so they went and they told the people, What does the king do? He doesn't believe. He just could not believe. He said, there's some trick. These Syrians, they've gone out into the field, and they're hiding there, and they're just waiting for us to get out of the city, and as soon as we get out of the city, they're going to attack us. And someone said to him, well, look, shouldn't we at least try and figure out if this is the case? Why not send some of those starving horses, put some people on them, and go down there to the Jordan River and see if you can see any Syrians? So the king said, okay, go ahead and do it. And I don't know how far it is from Samaria to the Jordan. I had the privilege of being there this past couple of months, but it must be a good 40 miles or so. And they sent these horses down to the Jordan, and everywhere they went, they saw the Syrians had scattered all this material on the ground, and they came back, I don't know how many hours later, and they said, it's true, the Syrians aren't around. And they wasted all that time checking out to see whether it was right or not, and the people continued to starve until they came back, and they could have had everything. Well, they went out, of course, and they found that everything that is said was true. And I want to say tonight, dear friend, you might be sitting there and saying, well, you must be sort of deluded about this. I don't believe the gospel message. But you know, friend, the time is coming when you're going to find out that what we're saying tonight is true. Not because I'm saying it, but because the Word of God says it. It says, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life. Is that my word? No, it's God's word. The word of God says it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. That's God's word, not mine. And oh, I want to tell you tonight that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He wants you to be saved. As we had before us last night, he's the happy God. He's the one that wants to make you happy. He was the one that wants to bring blessing into your life. Will you let him? Well, if you refuse, what will happen? Well, you know the story of the Lord. What happened to him? Notice there it says in the 17th verse, the king appointed the Lord on whose hand he leaned to have the charge of the gate, and the people trode upon him in the gate, and he died, as the man of God had said, who spake when the king came down to him. So the very man that mocked, he went into a lost eternity. Oh, how sad. There are many today who are passing into a lost eternity because they refuse to believe the glad tidings. Oh, I want to say, is there someone here tonight who has never accepted Jesus as their Savior? Will you not come to him? Will you not bow your head right where you're sitting and say, Lord, save me? I believe that you died on the cross. I believe you shed your blood to put away my sins. Will you not do that? You know, it says in Isaiah chapter 55, I'll just read the verse to get it correct, but it says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that has no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. That's God's word tonight to you. Will you not accept him as Savior? You know it says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Well, I think we've enjoyed a very happy 2 days meetings here. We're about to depart. But please don't depart without settling this question tonight. Take the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior. Let us just look to the Lord. Our God and Father, we just come before Thee this evening, and we thank Thee for the gospel message. We thank Thee that we can read those words, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. We thank Thee, Lord Jesus, for Thy wonderful love that would desire blessing for Thy creatures. And oh, we would just pray tonight, if there is some man or some woman, some boy or girl that has never settled this sin question, that they might acknowledge their sins tonight and accept Thee, Lord Jesus, as their personal Savior. We thank Thee for that verse, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleans us from all sin. We would just pray that Thou would bless Thy word, and we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.